Ladies and gentlemen, start your engines. It's time for another episode of Magic the Amateuring.
Was that a Kaladesh-specific intro?
Yes.
Nice.
Vroom, vroom, vroom. We've got some sweet Kaladesh news coming your way, racing down the speed track, because vehicles are a thing.
That's right. Also, it's definitely called a speed track.
Yes. It's called a speed track. Anytime you go to the races, check out those cars on the speed track is what I say.
You know in Kaladesh it's called an oval chase?
Yes, I do. Often chasing ovals.
What?
Ovaltine.
You know, you don't have to chase it. It's just like on the shelf.
You can just pour it into a glass, Murray, and have a delightful snack.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't know why you're chasing it.
Maybe
that's
it's
surprising.
You know, sometimes you really want something.
Yeah, but I mean, like, there's a difference between wanting something stationary and wanting something on the move.
I just always run after it. Sometimes I just do circles in my kitchen until I pour it into a glass.
You know, nothing. When I drink milk, it's just, I just pour it in a cup and drink it.
Try running around chasing after it for a while, Megan. I could tie a string to a milk jug and trail it behind myself for a fun little game. This has been a lesson in what to do when you're really bored.
Why?
Why
would you ever do any of these things?
Why not?
I'm genuinely puzzled. Puzzled.
I'm puzzled.
I'm puzzled. I'm genuinely puzzled by everything that we've said so far.
Like, everything?
I'm confused.
It's fine.
Yeah.
Didn't you do anything weird when you were bored as a child?
Oh, yeah. Okay. My favorite thing is that my brother and I would take, you know how blinds have like the little thing that you turn, the stick?
Yeah.
It's only on like a little hook at the top, so you can take it off. We would definitely run around and try and hit each other with those. It really hurts, FYI.
Yeah, it,
they're
sure
like
it does.
Swishy. Oh, man. And plastic and all of the ones in our, like, all of our houses, like wherever we were living at the time, was constantly missing those.
Your mom is like, yeah. Where's the things?
Like, I'm sure every time we moved out of an apartment, it was just like, there were no turny things on the blinds.
Aren't children such terrors? Like, it's just like the little annoying things.
Yeah.
Like, where is my little blind turny thing?
Exactly. It's like, no, you can't turn blinds in our house. Either they're open or closed, but that's like it. Like up or down, but you can't twist them. There's no degrees there.
I used to jump on the bed and play like a boxing knockout with pillows, like a pillow fight with my sister. And then we would take off, like it was a four-poster bed where you could unscrew the little knobs on the top. So we'd unscrew those and talk into them like we were announcers in a boxing ring. Put them back in anytime there
was
a hit.
Super weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's so weird that kids figure that stuff out.
I know. Strange. Bizarre. Anyway, Magic the Amateuring is a show about magic.
And amateurs.
Yeah, and pro players, especially this week.
Yeah, you may be wondering, what kind of amateurs? You two sure sound like conversational amateurs. But no, we're mostly talking about magic amateurs, so you can be listening to this podcast if you are brand new to magic, if you played magic for a long time, left, and just recently came back, or if you've been playing for a long time and you're just, you know, looking for a decent time being chill.
We are talking about the Magic World Championship
that's
coming
true.
Up on this show.
That is
which
correct.
Happened last weekend.
Yes,
and
it did.
It was epic.
Yeah, it was. It was on the stage at a theater.
Yes.
At like a beautiful theater.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
It was amazing.
The Paramount Theater in Seattle for PAX, Penny Arcade Expo. Magic was there, bought out the entire Paramount. It was the most epic thing that I've seen in quite a while.
Like the backdrops on stage. There was, like, I think multiple times throughout the weekend. Like, I never got tired of them. I was always just like, wow.
It was gorgeous.
This is beautiful.
So Megan and I were both there. We were kind of doing different jobs.
Yeah.
Megan was doing social media for the Wizards account.
Yep.
If you saw any of her super sweet videos. For the Pro Tour account, sorry.
Yep.
You can follow them on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was a good time.
You check those out because she talked to pro players and they told cute little stories and anecdotes
of
their all weekend. Get some insight into their life as a pro. And I was there as community ambassador. Thanks to WotC for the badge, flight and hotel. And I hung out with a bunch of other community ambassadors from around the world. And we made some media based on Kaladesh, the new set and stuff that was going on at PAX. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that coming up later in the show. Speaking of Kaladesh too.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So many new cards have been previewed. It's like,
holy buckets.
It's raining previews. That's what it felt like.
Hallelujah. It's raining previews. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Yeah. That's
moving on.
That's what it felt like. And we're going to rain them down on you coming up later in the show. Mm-hmm. Before we get to all that fun stuff, though, I want to just quickly mention patreon.com/MTAcast is where you can go to support this show if it gives you anything of value to you in your life.
Yeah.
For a little as a dollar, an episode, you can throw it our way.
That's as low as $4 a month.
That's like nothing.
You could skip a cup of coffee and give us that.
Yeah.
Or you could drink that cup of coffee and also give us $4. Because, like, it's not that much to double up on.
No, it's not. And here's the thing, though. Like, sometimes I think people think, like, oh, a dollar an episode is, like, not going to make any difference.
It really does, though. It really does. Because, oh, my goodness, if 100 people listened to this and were like, okay, do you know what? Now's the time that I start. We would get 100. We would see a bump of $100 an episode, which would just be incredible and help us keep doing so many great things with the show.
A pair of girls can dream.
I don't want to say pair of girls ever again.
Okay. A pair of grown women can dream.
Yep. Yes, they can.
It's from the saying, a boy can dream.
Yeah, you see, I understand, but it like sounded weirder.
Okay.
It sounded.
Got it.
It sounded kind of ominous. A little creepy, frankly.
Well, I did say it, so.
Starting last month, we also started doing giveaways to our once a month to our Patreon sponsors.
Yes.
So last month, we gave away all of the cards that we opened doing Flavor Text Theater, as well as some uncracked boosters. Yeah, we're not going to have time for a Flavor Text Theater today, so instead, we are adding an unopened Nyssa versus
Obnixilis
dual decks.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet, you guys.
That is going in the pile for this month at the end of the month when we do our drawing and we pick one of those lucky random Patreon sponsors. That's going to be in the pile of swag that they get.
Yeah, so get on in so you have the best chance to get your name drawn for those sweet cards and dual deck. And I just want to point this out on Patreon. You can change your amount anytime. And you can also set a limit to how much you want to give per month. I mean, we only ever post an episode a week, except for this one special time, which is why I'm bringing it up. So while we were at PAX, I did interviews with members of Wizards R&D, as well as Wizards creative team, and Paolo Vitor Dama de Rosa, randomly, was a pro I talked to, who's great.
Yeah.
So it took a lot of time and energy to put that together. So we're going to do a special episode, which is going to be released either sometime this week or next. And we're going to charge for that episode just because it was a lot of work. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's the reason. But if you don't want to be charged for it, you can go into patreon.com and just set your limit. If, for example, if you're doing a dollar an episode at $4 for the month, and then you won't get charged for it. But, you know, I figure every little bit helps. And this is a very special occasion. It's not like we're going to be throwing special episodes at you all the time that we're making you pay for. It's just kind of like this one time.
Special PAX
edition
episode.
Yeah. And it's going to be fantastic. Like, I learned a lot of crazy good stuff in those interviews, and I can't wait for you guys to hear them because they were magnificent and people said super interesting things. I also interviewed Mark Rosewater, among all people. So
that's right.
Yeah, you're going to want to listen in to see what special deets he gives me, including what he thinks the cutest card of all time is.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, right?
Wow, I can't wait to find out.
One more thing before we start the show. Yeah. Megan and I are part of a really special event this week, the Pup-a-thon.
That's right. It is a fundraiser for Secondhand Hounds, which is a shelter in the Minneapolis area, for all sorts of sweet dogs who need to be rescued or need homes or generally, you know, are just looking for their forever places, but need somewhere in the meanwhile. A local game store, Mead Hall, and their website, The Meadery. Every year organize this awesome fundraiser for Secondhand Hounds called the Pup-a-thon. And there are some sweet prizes.
Yeah, we're giving away some insane stuff on our stream.
That's right. We're going to be streaming this Thursday at 9 p.m. Central.
Yep. And you don't want to miss it because you can enter to win. Megan, I can't even handle saying this.
What is it?
It's an unlimited Black Lotus.
You guys, that's real. That's real.
That's some real money.
That's actually it. So you do need to enter, as we mentioned. There's a link on our Twitter. Also, if you go to themeadery.org, you can find out more about it there. So support the pups and have an awesome shot at winning just an insanely cool card.
Yeah, and if you don't win the Black Lotus, we also are giving away four oversized, so giant oversized cards.
Yeah.
And we're playing around with some of those at PAX this weekend, and they are sweet.
Yeah.
They're not Kaladesh. Cool. I can't remember what set they are, but it doesn't matter. No. It's four giant oversized cards.
You could have a card that's like this, like as big as you.
They're huge. And you can put them up on your wall, have it forever, and all it takes is a donation to the pups. Mm-hmm. And who doesn't love a doge? Am I right?
You're right.
So check out our stream Thursday, 9 p.m. Central. Go to themeadery.org to donate to the pups for the pup-a-thon. Do it for the dogs. Do it for yourself. PAX rap. Hey, everybody. We went to PAX.
Oh, man. Now I wish that you had written a rap.
I went to PAX. It was the best. Oh, shoot.
Nope.
Really fell flat on that one.
You really did.
I went to PAX. I didn't show my cracks. Ugh. Just doing really bad today.
I'm trying to think of stuff to help you out.
You collect pins, all for the wins.
I mean, I think that you missed out on like a pretty straightforward like PAX and to the max rhyme.
Oh, that was it.
Sorry, buddy.
Didn't get there.
No, you super didn't.
Maybe a reason I didn't get there is because we were so tired.
We're pretty tired.
Because we did so much stuff.
That's right. It was super cool. There was so much going on. As we mentioned, Magic had not only the Paramount Theater, but they also set up a street fair in the street next to it.
Oh my gosh, that was so cool.
They got to close off a city street.
I mean, how many people can say they've closed down a city street for something other than a standoff?
Yeah, like I mean, mayor? I feel like it happens. Like, protesters do that.
Okay, yeah, protesters.
Yeah.
It takes a big event, is what we're trying to say.
Exactly.
Someone with a gun in a house or a bunch of people peacefully holding hands.
Oh, boy. It's getting dark in here.
But the street fair was so cool. They had glass blowing. It really was. They had tattoos. Not real. Fake.
I had airbrush tattoos.
Kaladesh on my arm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You could see lots of cool preview cards. They had some of those giant preview cards that we were talking about. There was great food.
There was a huge elk, like, puppet.
There was, it was like 16 feet or something. And when they were pulling it in part of the parade, its legs moved. It was super cool.
Yeah, and you can see this kind of stuff. I'm going to post up a gallery of pictures from PAX that I'm going to make public so everybody can see them.
Yeah.
And you'll be able to see this cool stuff, too. Like, I'll put up a photo of that elk because it was just epic.
It really was. It was so tall.
And a cosplayers meetup with a ton of people who showed up to it.
Yeah, I believe it.
I mean, and great work by all of them. There's some epic costumes out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, like we mentioned at the top of the show, we ended up creating a ton of media from PAX and about Kaladesh. And if you want to check in on any of it, just head back to Twitter at MTAcast and go through our tweets. And you can see a lot of it.
Maria, what are some of the videos that you made?
Great question, Meg. Great question. So some of the videos I made, you can find on YouTube as well under Magic the Gathering's account. Because I did a little PAX preview video with Jimmy Wong from the Command Zone, who's just an awesome dude.
Yeah.
I talked to cosplayers, actually. That video is really interesting. You can find that under Magic the Gathering's YouTube as well. And then I went off on my own and shot a video in the Learn to Play area in the Paramount, which was really cool. The Lady Planeswalker Society, which they've done in the past, was once again hosting an event teaching. I think they taught more than 600 people how to play Magic.
Can you imagine? In one weekend.
Yeah.
Like 600 people.
And they were in there teaching. I mean, it was just like, it warmed my heart to see all those little baby Magic players being created before my eyes.
Baby Magic players do you know what? They walked in there all different heights.
Yeah, they did.
But while they were there, they were all baby Magic. Yeah.
Like, it's weird. You go through the door. And then
like, all of like, you're a baby.
Yeah. Cast a mountain. I mean, you don't cast lands. Anyway, so, it was really funny. You can see that video also on our website, magicthamaturing.com, or on Tolarian Community College. It's posted there, too.
You can also see a sick WotC tour.
Yeah. I did an audio tour of WotC, led by Mark Rosewater. Gave me the R&D run down in the pit.
How exhausted were you after being toured around WOTC by Mark Rosewater?
That man has more energy than anybody I have ever met in my life.
Yeah, I don't know how it happened. I wonder if it's like, if it's one of those things, you know, like the smaller a container that you put a gas in, like don't the more it heats gas. Up. The more it heats up and like the more it moves.
Yeah, kind of like a star is more intense the smaller it is.
Exactly. That's not a
concentrated
thing. You're talking about like a white dwarf.
Yes, that's what I
okay.
mean.
Okay. So that shit. Digging a real hole for myself.
We can't get out of this hole. We can't get out of this
what
hole.
What I'm saying is that Mark Rosewater was probably supposed to be like 8 feet tall.
Yeah. But or so like three people.
He has the energy of an 8 foot tall person that just got condensed down.
Yeah. He does. We learned some cool things. And here's the thing, like, you can't just go into Wizards and take a tour. That's not something that can happen. So go listen to it. Mm-hmm. It's on our feed. So if you have the podcast feed on your phone or whatever, it's in there. Check it out. It's kind of interesting. So yeah. WOTC tour. Megan, what were you up to the whole weekend?
Holy cow. I was working the World Championship.
Yeah.
I was doing all of the social media coverage for the Magic Pro Tour account, which I didn't think that it was possible to get tired just by tweeting.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you that if you're trying to do a good job at it, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It is very tiring because it was like every, I would start out the round being like, okay, like I'm going to tweet out the feature, like I have to do the feature match, but I have to like, so I would like, you know, get the list of like, okay, what's going to be the feature match and like, okay, type it in like the decks and their names and all of that sort of stuff. And then it's like, okay, I have to go get a cool picture before I post it. So I like run down and like get a picture and then I like run back upstairs. And then sometime like a little bit into the round, I would like run downstairs again and start just like hawking matches, just like watching them right over people, to like post like little updates and stuff. And before the play started, I had recorded like little videos with all the players on my phone, which was a lot of fun. And so kind of like interspersing those, it was good.
Yeah. We made a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we did.
This weekend that I'm pretty proud of. And we hope you guys can go out and check it all out because it was a great time and we want to feel like you were there. And I mean, some of you actually were there.
Yes, we met you.
We met
it
you.
It was great.
It was great. Our fans are the best people. Every time we meet them, I'm just like, hey, all our fans are cool. We literally have zero uncool fans. We are also took part in the Inventor's Spell Slinging Showdown.
Yeah, we did.
Which was so epic.
Which was on Monday.
Yeah.
We were coaches. We really gave some great advice.
We sure did.
To the people. So that worked out like they had some preview cards in decks.
Yeah.
So they had like kind of like Future Standard almost decks built. And there were three celebrities, which were LSV, Chris Cluey, and Mark Rosewater.
Yep.
And then they called up players from the audience, like by lottery, essentially.
Yeah.
And they got to play them, and we got to coach those poor, poor people.
Mess with them is a better word than coach.
Who had to endure our coaching.
It was great fun. LSV tried to get away with putting his lands in front of his spells. I wasn't going to allow that to happen.
That's right. That was good work.
And there was some, we had a couple of planeswalkers there with us to help the players out if they ever got in a bind. But check out that video also on Magic the Gathering's YouTube channel. You can see Megan essentially design a card, which we tweeted out today, which was, can you not?
Can you not? It's just a question. You know, like if someone is going, you know, if your opponent's going to do something that you wish that they wouldn't, you can just be like, can you not?
Yeah,
it's always,
what happens.
It's always worthwhile to check.
And see some new cards playing in action, because sometimes it's hard to evaluate just like on the basis of looking at a card.
Yeah.
You can only get so far sometimes. Yeah. So
you can also see LSV draw seven cards on turn. Oh, gosh, what turn was it?
So he emerged a Wretched Griff using Filigree.
Familiar.
So that would have lowered it by three, and that cost seven. So that would have been
It was like on turn five. On turn five. Yeah. So because he played a Filigree Familiar on turn three and then a Wretched Griff on turn four. And then on turn five, used a new card, which let's
to draw seven cards.
Yes.
It happened.
It was absurd. Oh, morbid curiosity.
Yeah.
One black for a sorcery. As an additional cost to cast morbid... Oh, gosh. I can't read this from here.
I can read
morbid it. Morbid curiosity. Sacrifice an artifact or creature. Draw cards equal to the converted mana cost of the sacrificed creature... Or of the sacrificed permanent.
Yeah, that's sick.
So, Wretched Griff, 7.
I mean...
Sacrificed
future standard? Question mark? Could be.
It was crazy.
Mark
it
Rosewater great. Also played a super sick red-green energy deck.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Yeah, it was very aggressive.
Looking
and,
at it.
Used energy counters to get, just, you know, get people dead.
Get people dead and yeah. quick. Mm-hmm. So yeah, check out that video, Spell Slinging That's Showdown.
Right. Before we jump into Kaladesh, there is also some super other great cool yes. news revealed. Which was easy, I think. To like forget kind
because
of
so
amidst
much
all
stuff.
The excitement about Kaladesh, but we found out that after this set in Kaladesh, we are going to get another new plane,
yes.
which is ruled by none other than Nicol Bolas himself.
That's so exciting to me.
That's
the new
right.
plane is called Amenket.
Yes,
and it's Egypt themed.
So that whoa. Hello, microphone. What are you doing?
It's Egypt theme, which will be really sweet. The art that we saw was just very minimal. Looked like yeah. the kind of the key image with the text Amenket on it, but it looked really nice. And if it's a plane that's ruled by Nicol Bolas, I want to go to there.
It's going to get dark.
It's going to get dark
and it's going to get evil.
And it means that we can have special guest Nicol Bolas come back on our podcast.
Oh, that's right.
He does such a great job whenever he comes on.
He really does.
Maybe he can take a break from being all Egyptian. Get
and
over here.
He can tell us, you know, how his search for love is going.
Yeah. Maybe he found it
maybe
amongst
he did.
The pyramids.
Yeah. Who knows?
I asked Nicol Bolas to be on the show today and he said no, he was busy.
Wow.
But
I mean, maybe he was hanging out with a lady dragon friend.
He just big timed me. Maybe our next episode.
What does big time do you mean?
It means like when, for instance, let me tell a story. Maybe he'll get mad I tell this story. But he said it to me and I thought it was funny. So in the venue, the Paramount, you couldn't bring drinks from outside the venue in.
Uh-huh.
And LSV, like he had a coffee or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And the person at the door was like, you can't come in with that. You just can't. And he's like, huh. Well, I'm going to. And they were like, well, it's not allowed. And he's like, interesting. And then he just walked in with it. And he said, I just big time someone hard.
That's amazing.
I know. It's so good. It's so
Are
good.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I tried to go in with coffee and they wouldn't let me. So I just went around to the stage door. Which
Secret
was like a way less baller way of getting inside,
I mean,
with coffee.
Woo! I hope he was wearing his aviators when that happened, because that would be even better.
Interesting.
That's called big timing someone.
So good. That's
yeah.
so good.
So Amenket.
So you're yeah. saying that Nicol Bolas big timed you.
He did, but he can. I mean, he's an elder
That's
dragon.
That's true.
Who am I? I'm just a lowly podcast host.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I am wearing the sweet Emra Kool-Aid shirt.
Yeah, it's great.
I like having said something that's now a shirt.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, really fun being at PAX. Lots of great people there. Like I mentioned, there are a bunch of community ambassadors, and you should check out all the material they created for the weekend, too. So the professor was there making cool stuff. We had Josh Lee Kwai from the Command Zone there making cool stuff. We had people from Australia. We had people from China, including a super famous movie star who brought his entourage, which was a real thing.
That's so amazing.
We had the Windmill
so
Slam
happy.
Guy there. Yeah, it was great. So you can find out who all went by visiting Daily MTG.com. There's a list of all the community ambassadors, and I also tweeted it out at some point. But yeah, lots of cool content was made throughout the weekend, and just in my opinion, a great move by Wizards to invite the community in to kind of help kick off Kaladesh, kick off the World Championship, create just a ton of great stuff, create camaraderie between all the community members. We all got to talk and exchange stories and talk business together and develop a better relationship with each other too. So I think it was just a win-win-win-win. That's
win.
Four wins.
Five wins.
Five?
Just give it five.
Win, 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 win.
Win, 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 win.
Yeah. I was also in a game show with Windmill Slam, which got out of control. So he does a game show on his podcast, yeah. And it's kind of fun. And the professor and I and Gavin Verhey were on it, and it got chaotic. I don't know if it's up online yet, but follow Windmills on Twitter if you want to see it. I won't spoil it and tell you who won this game show, but it's very clever and very fun. So, yeah,
nice.
That'll be a good video, too. Josh Lee Kwai did a vlog, which you can check out. He tweeted it. I make a brief appearance. The professor's quite funny because those two have like a love-hate relationship. More like all love, but like on pretend hate.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny.
Adorable.
Adorable. World Championships!
That's right. Also happening at PAX was the World Championship.
Yeah, we crowned a winner.
Yeah, we did.
Drum roll, please. It was BBD!
How did you not know that already?
I don't know.
I mean, if you're listening to this and that's the first you heard of it, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Great job. You managed to be spoiled by us.
Exactly. Do you know what happened at the end of the new Star Wars film? I won't tell you, but if you're the person who can avoid that kind of information, I feel like, yeah.
Yeah, maybe you'd be the kind of person who wouldn't know this either.
Don't tell me.
BBD, great guy.
Yeah, you can go back and listen to our Magic the Pro Throwing episode with him.
Yes.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, and he gave a great interview with a lot of good tips and that kind of thing for new players. It's on Tulare Community College on YouTube. I highly suggest it. And he's just a really funny, nice guy.
Yeah. So it was awesome. He beat Marcio Carvalho from Portugal in the finals. They were playing, Marcio was playing Bant Company and BBD was playing Bant Humans. You can go watch a game that lasts literally over an hour.
I mean,
remember at some point in the middle of game three, like I tweeted, you know, players are tied 1-1 and we're in the middle of a tense game three. And an hour later, someone from Nico Nico retweeted it being like, I'm still commentating this match.
Yep.
Or not this match, this game. Like, I'm still commentating this game.
This actual game that you just tweeted about.
Of Magic.
I mean, I was, like, doing stuff for, like, the community ambassador thing, but I would look up because there was two big video screens in the venue, and I looked up and I saw just 1,000 cards on each side.
Yeah, there were so many permanents.
I was like,
there are so many permanents. I think game three was kind of clinched by a tragic arrogance.
Mm.
BBD drew a tragic arrogance, which is just very good in the mirror.
That helps out with that.
Oh boy. Yeah, it does.
Didn't you tell me that at one time he like kind of like his library was only like a hand size?
It was about after that. Like it was sometime right after that because he had a bunch of he drew it and he still had a bunch of creatures that he hadn't played. So he tragic arroganced and then was able to like refill his board somewhat. And one of those cards was a Nissa. And he played the Nissa and he goes to search for a forest and he picked up his deck and it's like he could have held it. Like it was more than seven, but it was still he could have held it, you know, like fanned out in his hands, like as if he were just holding those cards. And there wasn't a forest among them either.
Wouldn't that have been epic? A mill in the finals. Of a world championship.
So it was pretty cool though.
Yeah, it was
very
and
intense.
You could hear the cheer go up from the arena, from the auditorium when BBD won. It was like so great. And he ran out into the audience and like hugged all of his teammates and stuff. It was a great moment.
It was super cool. It was also really cool. You could watch, there was like a balcony upstairs at the theater. And then above the stage where they were playing, they had put a giant screen that was showing the broadcast on it. So you could like go up in the balcony and you would look down and see them on stage, you know, like so tiny way down there.
It was
and
then cool.
But like above it, you could watch on this enormous screen.
Yeah, it was awesome. And the news desk was up there as well as like the tournament center was up there.
Exactly.
So the shots of the balcony overlooking the main play area were just amazing. Like great job to everybody who helped design and work on that from Wizards. Looked fantastic.
Mm-hmm. If you want to go back and catch any of the World Championship, you can catch on day one. There's a Shadows over Innistrad block draft starts off the day, and then they play four more rounds of standard. Then the next day is four rounds of
draft
again, three rounds of draft again, and then it's four rounds of modern, and then it's standard for the top four.
Megan, did you, other than the moment when BBD won, do you have any other great moments that stood out to you?
Let's see. There were a couple of it's so hard because there's great plays that happen.
Yeah.
But it was such a long 4 days.
It was such a long
4 days. I think I remember on the standard day, there was like one. Oh, no. When was it? I think it was actually in Modern. LSV was at like one life and his opponent was at like 20 or something like that. And he ended up coming back and winning that game.
Wow.
I think that's in the Modern portion. So if you look through the Modern ones for an LSV feature match, it's super cool.
And in Standard, there was like an unexpected deck that happened.
Which one was that?
Let me look it up. I want to make sure I'm not going crazy.
Okay.
Because maybe I am.
Maybe you are.
Anyway, you took a great picture of LSV too.
That's true. He tweeted that one though. So if you follow him on Twitter. Okay. I didn't tweet it because I thought that would be mean.
If you don't follow LSV on Twitter, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah. And if you go back, to the Magic Pro Tour account, you can listen to, like I said, I did like those miniature interviews with players. So you can listen to like Mike Sigrist describe what his hidden talent is, which was actually super entertaining.
I didn't watch that video.
Yeah, there's some other stuff like Steve Rubin talks about how his dad and his brother are like the most influential people in his Magic career, and it's so sweet. It's really nice, and lots of other stuff like that.
Green Blue Crush.
Oh yeah, that was a deck from GP Portland. Mm-hmm. Blue Green Crush is pretty cool. It loops. Crush of Tentacles using Den Protector.
Sweet.
Baller.
I mean,
no who'd, cat packed though.
Who would play four pieces of the puzzle? This deck.
Spells.
Yeah, so that was a cool deck. And there's a deck tech with it as well.
And who was playing that?
I'm
trying to remember. All I remember though is like at the end of the day in the standard portion, there was the moment.
Ruben.
Yes. And there was the awkward game with, I think, like him and Oliver too.
Yeah.
Because Oliver was playing Jund Delirium. Or no, he was playing Turbo Emrakul. And he had an Elder Deep Fiend in hand. But he was almost dead. And Steve had two Lumbering Falls. So it was sort of...
Oh, yeah.
It was a moment of, like, depending on how it played out, either it was a draw or Steve won, and there was kind of some confusion, and it ended up being a draw. But it was really interesting because at the beginning of that game, Steve was attacking with his Den Protectors. He just played them on turn 2 and turn 3, not face down, because when you're playing the Crush of Tentacles deck, it doesn't matter. You end up bouncing them anyways. So he was just kind of like trying to get in lots of early damage because they ended up going to time. It was a draw because they went to time. So he was just like trying to chip in all this early damage with these Den Protectors that were just played face up. Because then later on, you just bounce them back to your hand anyways.
Yeah, why not?
That one was super cool, actually. Also, that's at the end of day two. No, at the end of day one.
Day two is only draft.
Oh my gosh. That's at the end of day one. Standard portion.
Yeah. So lots of great moments that you can relive by going to Magic the Gathering's YouTube channel. I definitely going to want to watch some of it because I didn't get to watch a lot.
Yeah.
And it looked like a fantastic tournament.
Very cool.
The World Championship, it is the biggest and the best. It's got like a huge prize pool. Yeah, man.
Baller.
Here we go.
Oh my God.
Yeah, this is like the most crammed episode we've ever had.
I feel like I'm going to pass out.
Well, don't worry, Megan, because right now we're going to talk about Kaladesh.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Okay. Okay, we're with you guys.
We're going to get rip-roaring pace. Speaking of rip-roaring paces, do you know what else can go to rip-roaring pace?
A vehicle.
That's correct.
Yes.
Do you know what we're going to see in Kaladesh, Maria?
Vehicles! Yeah.
It is a brand new card type.
Yeah.
There have never been vehicles before.
Never been a vehicle before.
It's super cool, though. Basically what it is.
It's
a vehicle. No, that's right. There's actually no other way to describe it.
Basically what it is.
Now that I think of it.
It's a vehicle.
Okay, so they are artifacts, though.
Yes.
So it's an artifact vehicle. And they come down, and they have stats like a creature. But they're not a creature.
They're not anything.
They're not. Well, they're a vehicle.
Yeah. But they can't do anything.
No, they certainly can't.
They can't attack. They can't block. Because let me ask you, if your car can drive itself, don't answer this question if you work for Google.
No, is the usual answer.
No.
It can't. So you have to crew them, which you do by tapping creatures. Notably, they do have, say, you know, you play something like this. Let's look at this Demolition Stomper. There we go.
I love this card.
6 mana for an artifact vehicle. Its stats say 10/7. Demolition Stomper can't be blocked by creatures with power 2 or less. Crew 5. Tap any number of creatures you control with total power 5 or more. This vehicle becomes an artifact creature until end of turn.
Yeah.
So if it, you know, if you crewed it, if you played it and then crewed it immediately, it would have summoning sickness. Because it's still like, hey, I just came into the battlefield this turn.
Yeah.
Calm down, buddy.
Still need to put gas in me.
Just wait.
I mean, ether. Yeah. Ether.
So that's super interesting. And it also can't be targeted by creature removal unless it's been crewed.
Whoa.
Isn't
so you
that
can't
crazy?
You can't blow up my car unless I'm in it. That's Oh god. Oh god.
Yeah. Yep. That's basically exactly it. But the creatures don't die. Notably, if the vehicle dies, the creatures don't die.
Yeah.
They basically said that like Kaladesh has great airbags.
Yeah.
Like a great airbag system.
Let this not be a lesson to you in real life.
I mean, always wear your seatbelt.
Yes.
Always wear a seatbelt. Your car should have great airbags.
The thing about vehicles is that players have been asking for them for years and years and years.
Have they?
Yes.
Man, I haven't heard that.
I've thought of vehicles before. Just kind of, I don't know if I've ever talked about it on this show, but in my head, what happened instead of like the crew mechanic and then the vehicle going was that the creatures gained something from being in, quote unquote, in the vehicle, like flying or haste or whatever. And the interesting thing is that vehicles went through more than 20 iterations in Kaladesh before they settled on this design.
I believe it.
Yeah, and I talk more about this when I talk to R&D members in the supplemental podcast, which will be released later. But yeah, it's super interesting because they shared with us some of their designs like before they arrived on the crew mechanic. And yeah, some of the designs were what I thought, which is like tap 3 creatures, they gain flying. But then it became they ran into all sorts of problems, like flavor problems of things being in a vehicle, something being too powerful, or just like what happens if the vehicles die, like what happens to the creatures.
Yeah,
that sort of thing. So I think they solved it pretty well with this crew mechanic.
It's pretty cool.
So I initially thought like crew 5 meant you had to tap 5 creatures to crew it.
No, it's just power. The power.
Yeah. So these vehicles seem pretty powerful because there's some that have super low crew costs, like 1.
Yep.
And with servos being something that exists in the set, finding a crew for your vehicle might just be a little robot friend, and it won't be too difficult.
Just one tiny robot friend.
One little robot friend. So vehicles, here in Kaladesh, I couldn't be more excited. I really want to draft a vehicle deck, and guess who I want to crew that vehicle deck, Megan?
Who?
A gremlin. I want a lot of gremlins.
So many gremlins. There's a creature type in Kaladesh that is gremlin. That is correct. So there are gremlins. There are dwarves, which lots of people are super excited about the return of.
Awesome.
Very cool. Elves, humans. Did I get through all of them? Gremlins, humans, elves,
dwarves.
Aetherborn, which are what they did for Black's slice of the color pie, instead of doing something, you know, like zombies, which they didn't feel were really like in flavor for Kaladesh.
Yeah.
They created this whole new creature type, the Aetherborn.
Yeah. And the Aetherborn are really cool because they're kind of made out of the ether that is just like around the plane, and they live.
They
and
like then, coalesce.
Then they die very, very quickly.
Very quickly.
They
like
have short lives.
Years.
So they try and live as much and as hard as they can while they're alive.
Which makes them, you know, Black's kind of like self-serving.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That kind of, and a little bit reckless.
Yeah. So, oh boy, Megan, I can't wait to load up my demolition, Demolition Stomper?
Yeah.
With 5, like, say there's 1/1 gremlins or whatever, and I'm like, get in there, little buddies! You drive this big tank! Get in there!
5 gremlins driving a tank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What more, literally, can you ask
what
for in life?
What more can you ask for? Nothing.
And my joy about this, I mean, is kind of, Megan's showing off the gremlin,
that
we got. the joy in this is that when Kaladesh was kind of revealed and some of the cards were announced, like Saheeli Rai was announced at PAX, I have never had such a reaction to a set that was so excited and just overjoyed for this set. It's a very optimistic, kind of happy world. It's very bright and colorful, and there's fun things like gremlins and vehicles. I don't know, Megan, have you ever, like, honestly, this set is just like, I'm just like, I'm in.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a reaction to a set like that? Well,
Theros. I really liked Theros.
Yeah, Theros is great too. Yeah. And I think kind of similar in that kind of feel.
That one was so cool, like with all the weird enchantment stuff going on.
Yes.
And like those sparkly card borders.
Those are great borders.
Yeah. And like I liked the art from it. The art was kind of like very classic. It was awesome.
Yeah. And I just wanted to point out with Saheeli, who we met this weekend. And we can talk about her card in an upcoming segment. But I just want to mention that she's a woman of color, and she was like, her face is the face of magic right now.
Yeah.
And it was on tons of billboards around PAX.
Yeah.
And I just want to point out, like, how proud I am of Wizards for doing this and for making this move and realizing that it's important, not just super to, cool. like, us or specific players, but to every player.
And to see, to see it contrasted, like, all of this stuff that's, like, pictures of giant tanks.
Yeah. white dudes in tanks, the game. Oh my god, did you play the new White Dudes in Tanks?
Man, I love White Men in Tanks. But my favorite is White Men in Tanks 3.
Oh, yeah, it's so much better because the guys are actually wearing tanks and they're in tanks.
And they're in tanks.
Oh, what a franchise.
Yeah, and they're filling tanks of gas. Three kinds of tanks. That was how the tanks, like, kept their game going.
Yeah.
Was that they would add a new kind of tank every time. So at first it was just like what you think of classic tanks. And then it was like guys in tanks filling tanks of gas. And it was guys wearing tanks in tanks filling tanks of gas. I don't know where they're going to go next.
Who knows?
I don't know where they're going to go next, but I'm sure they'll go somewhere.
They'll go somewhere.
Yes.
I was talking about this with Mel Lee and Kimberly from the Magic kind of story and world design team, which you can hear in the interviews too. Just to get their take on why it's important and where WotC is hoping to go with it. So
yeah.
That's my, like, third and final push for you guys to listen to those interviews, because I think it's really interesting to get some insight into that, too. Yeah,
so, but anyways, it was super cool to, like, walk down the street and then, like, on the giant Paramount billboard is Saheeli Rye. And it's like, yeah.
And it was kind of the first Planeswalker really felt that I identified with. You know, like, I like Liliana and all because she's, like, weird and creepy because I'm kind of weird and kind of creepy.
Yep, you're both those things.
But I don't actually do necromancy. Or anything like that.
Yeah. You like that Saheeli is like, she's kind of like an inventor.
She's an inventor.
Like her inventiveness.
She makes stuff. She is proud of what she does. She's not afraid to show it. She's like good at what she does. She's kind of like an entrepreneur with making these inventions and showing them off and sharing them with the world and whatever. So like, I totally
it's super
like,
cool.
You know, I love that. I love that about her. So anyway, just super stoked.
Yeah, man. Agreed.
Megan, just a quick, do you want to do the story?
Oh, yeah. Okay, wait, we'll do one quick recap. I won't catch us all the way up. I'll catch us part way up.
Okay.
Which is just, I'll say, as part of our story recap, okay, Maria.
Yes.
Get this.
What?
My roommate is a planeswalker is now canon.
Yes.
Because not in this week's story where we saw that Tezzeret, BT Dubs, Tezzeret is on Kaladesh.
Woo, he's here.
He was the head judge at the Inventors.
I mean, he kind of has to be there,
right? The
Inventors
Fair. With this crazy arm.
Yeah.
Like this mechanical arm thing. Saying mechanical arm thing just made me think of the, like, the claw machines.
Tezzeret is a human claw machine.
Tezzeret, the human claw machine.
That's his new planeswalker name.
Exactly.
Oh, shoot, we weren't really supposed to say wizard secrets
Sorry, guys. Tezzeret, human claw machine.
Three blue red. Wait, is he just blue? Three blue blue.
He's been blue and he's been blue black.
Okay. Plus one. You get to claw one of opponent's creature.
You get to like pick it up for a turn.
Yeah, pick it up, use it for a turn, and then it goes back.
Yeah.
Negative 10 ultimate, put 10 Bs.
Put 10 Bs. So anyways, so but before we get there, and Chandra saw her mom in the crowd. She was like, what, mom, you're alive?
Her mom's not dead.
She thought that her mom was dead. But
did you see that art today?
Her dad seems super dead.
Megan, did you see the art of like...
Yes, them hugging.
Oh, so sad.
So sad. Anyways, so before that, they were all on Ravnica again, hanging out at Jace's place. They literally all live there except for Liliana. Like, Gideon's there and he has like his like workout room. And Chandra's there and her room is like a total mess. And Nissa's there and she like lives on the roof. And is kind of having like a traumatic time trying to recover from the whole Zendikar situation. She just lives on the roof garden.
Okay.
Yeah. And Jace is like Jace is like a pencil pusher for Ravnica. Like as the living guild pack, as far as I can tell, what he does is paperwork. Because Lavinia's there just being like, Jace, you need to do your paperwork. And Jace is like, ugh.
Meanwhile, Garrick's clogging the toilet every night.
He's not there.
I mean.
Gideon?
Gideon. I said Garrick. It would be bad if Garrick was there.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be a murder house real quick.
So my roommate is a planeswalker came true. It my makes point me is that so it came, happy.
Is that it came true.
Oh, I hope they have just a crappy little apartment. Yes.
But anyways, and then so they're like, oh, they're putting out the call, like, you know, like people are telling different planes, like, oh, if you need help with something, you can call the Gatewatch. And so they're just kind of chilling. And then this one of the Vedalken, who's a planeswalker, whose name I don't remember off the top of my head. It starts with a D. From
Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl. Daryl the Vedalken. Daryl the Vedalken from Kaladesh comes and is like, hey, we're having this adventurer's fair, but there's these like saboteurs from our own plane who are sabotaging it. Can you come help? And the Gatewatch is like, well, that sounds like, you know, that's like an in-plane threat. We deal
sounds
with
like a prime directive problem.
Yeah, it's like they're like, we deal with like extra-planar threats, like other planeswalkers or the Eldrazi. So stuff from the outside, but this sounds like it's from the inside. So that's just you. But Chandra gets real upset because, you know, this Vedalken dude is obviously on the up and up with the government. He's just like real chill with all the government people in Kaladesh, which Kaladesh sounds like it might have like the bad iteration of socialism going on a little bit, maybe. It kind of has that. And, you know, her, because Aether is like, the Aether is a very controlled resource by the government, and her parents were Aether smugglers, essentially.
Yeah.
Because they were like, hey, everyone should have more equal access to this. So she's like really mad because he's spouting some government big talk. And she's like, that's not how it is. And Liliana is like, Chandra's upset. I can tell. So she follows her and Liliana like just coerces Chandra into going to into planeswalking. The planes walk away. And Jace is like, oh, I have all this paperwork. And Gideon's like, this isn't a problem for the Gatewatch. And so Nissa's like, okay, I'm going to go after her because Nissa and Chandra kind of seem to have a thing going on.
What?
Yeah.
Yes.
So it's like not canon yet, but they're like hardcore, like nervous flirting.
Oh my God. Wizards, give us what we want.
So that's that. And then, you know, they play in Zlock. Inventor's Fair is going on. Tezzeret, mom, say what? Okay, there you go.
Question, then
we'll catch more up later.
Do we know why Liliana wanted Chandra to planeswalk to Kaladesh?
Because Liliana is just a troublemaker.
She's just messing?
You know, we'll catch up more on that
okay,
later.
Okay, next
more
episode.
More on that later. Liliana's possible suspect motivations.
Wow, thanks for that story update, Megan.
Woo, you're welcome.
I feel like I just got a bath in Kaladesh and it felt like greatness. Kaladesh deep dive.
Oh boy, you guys, we just barely scraped the surface right now. So
yeah,
now
we're
going to talk more about Kaladesh, because who likes scraping the surface?
Dentists.
Yeah, they do. But they also like filling the cavities.
Oh God.
That's just a fact.
It's just facts.
That's
everybody.
Just a fact. That's what dentists do.
Get your minds out of the gutter.
Get your gosh darn mind out of the gosh darn dugger.
The new on TLC, get your mind out of the gosh darn dugger. 39 kids and counting. So, like, we talked about the story. We talked about the cool stuff going on in Kaladesh. Now let's talk about some of the cool cards.
Let's talk more about the cool cards.
Specifically.
Planeswalkers starting out. Holy buckets of value.
I thought you were going to say ether.
Holy buckets of ether. That's
great
better.
Buckets of ether.
Great buckets of ether.
So we're just going to touch on a few cards that touched our hearts. So what better card to start off with than Saheeli Rai?
Saheeli Rai.
Which is the first planeswalker I've ever wanted to play in Standard.
Let me say three words.
Go.
Three. Mana. Planeswalker.
Yay!
That's right. Hey, she costs one blue red. Comes into play with three loyalty counters. Plus one, you scry one, and she deals one damage to each opponent.
Okay.
Yeah, pretty sweet. Solid. You can minus two her and create a token that's a copy of target artifact or creature you control, except it's an artifact in addition to its other types. That token gains haste. Exile it at the beginning of the next end step.
Wow, imagine so that.
Smashing for some damage.
With, like, Reality Smasher... Or like,
oh, gross.
Imagine it even with Reflector Mage. I know it's another
boy.
Color, but gross.
Yeah, man. And minus seven, search your library for up to three artifact cards with different names. Put them onto the battlefield, then shuffle your library.
Yeah, this card is good.
Seems pretty sweet, you guys. You know, you can improve the quality of your draw while pinging away at your opponent's life total. You can smash in for a bunch of damage by copying something.
Yep.
And eventually you can search up three sick cards.
Wow, so great.
Very cool. Speaking of sick planeswalkers, man.
Yeah.
Chandra herself,
back at home.
Torch of Defiance.
Ready to be the best card we've seen in probably a long time.
She has four abilities.
Four.
How many?
Four.
Say it one more time.
Four! No,
four.
That was me. I just hit a golf ball. It's coming for you.
No! that's right. Also, I love the name Torch of Defiance.
That's great.
It's pretty cool. Pretty cool. Two red, four loyalty counters. Maria, tell us, sick action is Chandra getting up to?
Plus one, exile the top card of your library. You can cast that card if you want or whatever. If you don't, Chandra Torch of Defiance deals two damage to each opponent.
That's right. Keep in mind that if it's a land,
you
can't use it, but then she deals two damage.
Yeah, so like, who cares?
Who cares?
You can also plus one her again to add RR to your mana pool.
So why would you want to plus one and hit a land off of that first ability? Because you could just get red anyways.
Yeah, pretty sweet.
Sick.
Negative three, she deals four damage to target creature.
Nice.
Which is a healthy amount of damage. So you just want to use her as removal, she'll still survive. She'll have one loyalty counter left the turn you play her. Negative seven, her ultimate, you get an emblem with whenever you cast a spell, this emblem deals five damage to target creature player.
Oh, boy.
Only three turns before she ultimates.
Yeah.
Just FYI.
Yeah.
Well, that's a beating. You're not dead. I mean, like, too long after that happens.
No, you're not. Honestly, if Chandra stays on the table, you're just in so much trouble.
Yeah, you are.
You're just in a lot of trouble.
All right.
Nissa, Vital Force. Third walker that we've seen so far this set.
Sweet.
What third one already? Three green for a planeswalker, Nissa. Five loyalty counters. Plus one, untapped target land you control. Until your next turn, it becomes a 5/5 elemental creature with haste. It's still a land. So if your opponent doesn't have much going on, just smack them for five. Ooh. They have a lot of stuff. Protect that, Nissa. That 5/5 hangs back, man.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, this Nissa seems good as well.
Minus three, return target permanent card from your graveyard to your hand.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Minus six, you get an emblem with whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, you may draw a card.
Oh, only what? Needs one turn before she ultimates.
What? You can just, you activate this once, and then the next turn you can make an emblem. So you, like, you play her, you plus one her, and you make an emblem.
What?
Yeah.
And then you just draw cards all day.
Just draw cards all day. What?
I mean, it's kind of like how much more land do you have in your hand once you've already played her, but, you know.
But you're drawing two cards a turn. Like, as long as you have a land in hand.
Yeah.
You're going to, you know, play that land and draw an additional card. So you're seeing so many cards.
Sweet. Oh. Megan, which one of these three P-dubs is your favorite?
How can it not be Chandra?
Yeah.
I mean, it can be Saheeli.
Saheeli.
Or Nissa. Gosh.
How can really it not be any of them?
Really like drawing cards.
And three ladies.
Yeah. Sick.
Gotta love it. So, Megan, do you remember the Titans?
How can I forget the Titans?
Isn't that a movie?
Forget the Titans?
Remember the Titans? Forget the Titans. What a movie.
What a movie. Hey, remember the Titans. Now forget them.
The sequel, Forget the Titans.
Of course, I love Frost Titan. It's one of my favorite cards to draft in Cube.
Yeah.
As is Inferno Titan.
We weren't around playing Limited when they first came out.
No.
But they were absurdly busted.
Yes, they were.
And
they were
so
very busted.
Here on Kaladesh, they've what seems like attempted to make a different Titan cycle that hopefully is not as busted. But, I mean, they're still pretty busted.
Yes. There's the blue one, Torrential Gear Hulk, 4 blue-blue for a 5/6 with Flash. When it enters the battlefield, you may cast target instant card from your graveyard without paying its mana cost.
Snapcaster Mage.
But no, you don't have to pay it.
No.
Just cast it.
Just get it.
Also, it's just an instant, interestingly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. I mean...
Crazy.
These, I mean, this card, like, in limited, they are certainly OP. I mean, Noxious Gear Hulk, 4 black-black for a 5/4 menace.
That destroys a creature.
Just destroys a creature. And then that's not it. You gain life equal to that creature's toughness.
Oh, boy.
So
the green one, Virtuous. Virtuous Gear Hulk.
Is that a real word?
3 green-green, 4/4 trample. When it enters the battlefield, distribute 4+1/+1 counters among any number of target creatures you control.
Sick.
So you can just put them all on another creature. You can you can spread them out. Do whatever you want.
These elves are really good at ether shenanigans, because if someone was like, hey, I'm holding this inventor's fair, what would you like to invent? And I was like, a giant walking robot that kills people.
Oh, yeah.
Or, you know, has a tree growing inside it.
Yeah.
That's not what I would say. I would say I invented this thing called the pet entry pad, and you put it outside your house, and it's rigged up to electronically, when your pet steps on it, it rings a bell inside your house. So you know it wants to come in.
Is that already a thing?
No, I don't know. Maybe. I invented it in fourth grade at the Inventor's Fair. That's why I'm bringing it up.
Really?
Yes. It was because you just rigged it up with 2 like metal sheets, and so when they touched, it rigged the electronics inside the house to go bring, 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 bring.
Oh, yeah.
So you know your kitty wanted to come in.
I like completed the circuit.
Yeah, we had indoor outdoor cats. So that's why I invented it. Probably already existed. Who knows? But I had dreams as a fourth grader.
Cataclysmic Gear Hulk, the white one, 3 white-white for a 4/5 vigilance. When it enters the battlefield, each player chooses from among the non-land permanents he or she controls an artifact, a creature, an enchantment, and a planeswalker, then sacrifices the rest.
So if you wanted
this is
Tragic Arrogance on a stick.
Yeah, this is
here
it.
Here you go.
For the same cost. And notably, it's an artifact creature, so you can choose it as your artifact that lives, and you can choose another creature as your creature that lives. And the flip-flop goes if you have a great artifact in play.
Oh that my one. God.
I'm very excited for that.
What a card.
Yeah. That's a straight bomb.
Some of those got to show up in standard. Right?
Oh, boy. I mean, that one I feel like is at least sideboardable.
Yeah.
Depending. All right. Then we have the completion of a land cycle.
The story has come to an end.
That's right. With what are these ones called again?
Fast lands.
They enter the battlefield tapped unless you control 2 or fewer other lands.
So play these first.
Exactly. But these are the ally color pairs.
Yes.
So we have Concealed Courtyard, which is a black-white, Spire Bluff Canal, which is blue-red, Blooming Marsh, which is green-black, Inspiring Vantage, which is red-white, and Botanical Sanctum, green-blue.
Wow. I can't wait for the day when they just flat-out run out of words. Ways to make these dual lands represent both halves of
they're
their
just
identity.
Like, there's not another way to say mountain.
It's just like the marsh.
Spire Bluff.
It's just like, and spire they've used before. So now they're like, they're swapping
them around.
But Inspiring Vantage, that one is like completely, it doesn't really reference. You wouldn't know.
It's very cool.
Anyway.
So that is pretty cool, seeing the completion of that cycle. It's always super interesting to me when they've done, you know, like 5 of one type of rare land.
Yeah.
But not the other 5. So it's really cool, especially since the first ones have been around for a real long time.
Megan, you had some preview cards on dailymtg.com.
I did. You can check them out there, but we'll also talk about them real quick here. They are modules. The 3 of them work together pretty, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So animation module costs just 1. And it says whenever 1 or more +1/+1 counters are placed on a permanent you control, you can pay 1. If you do, create a 1/1 servo.
Ooh, use that with the Gear Hulk.
Yeah. So you can 3 and tap to put a counter on target permanent or choose a permanent with a counter already on it and give it 1 more of that counter. That can also be, I believe, No, it's a permanent. Never mind. So you can't use it with energy. Okay. You're not a permanent. You're impermanent.
How dare you?
You're impermanent. Decoction module, which is two. Whenever a creature you control enters the battlefield under your control, or whenever a creature enters the battlefield under your control, you get an energy counter.
Yeah.
Four and tap, return target creature you control to its owner's hand. And fabrication module for three. Whenever you get one or more energy counters, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control. Four and tap, you get energy.
So how are these are all like related to each other? Can you go infinite?
I think, I mean, animation module, you have to pay one. So like eventually you'll, to make the servo, so eventually you'll run out.
Yeah.
But if say you had five open mana, or like you cast something and you had five open mana, then like you could, you know, you could go through a couple of loops of this. Cause you make the, like you pay one, you make a servo, and then it entered the battlefield. So you get an energy counter. You got an energy counter. So you put a +1/+1 creature. You put a +1/+1 on a creature. So then you can pay one and you can make a servo. Yes. You made a servo so you can get an energy. And you got an energy so you can put a counter on something. You put a counter so you can pay one and make a servo. You got a servo so you can get an energy.
All right.
You get the idea.
But let's take this moment to talk briefly about energy, which That's is right. something brand spanking new in this set.
Holy buckets of energy.
So energy, also known as Mechanic E before this weekend, was a mechanic that Mark Rosewater had been trying to figure out how to utilize in previous sets of Magic, and it didn't quite fit or whatever. Perfected it here for Kaladesh, and it's really, cool. really interesting because it's an additional resource you can spend that's like mana, except it's not mana.
Yes, there are specific things that you can spend them on. So, for instance, there is a card, Architect of the Untamed, which allows you to pay, is it 7 or 8?
It's a lot.
It's 8 to create, you can pay 8 energy to create a 6/6 beast artifact token.
Yep.
Which is pretty sick. There's other creatures that you can pay energy to put counters on them.
Yep.
Or pay just to give them a boost until the end of turn. Stuff like that.
I wanted to point out a new burn spell.
Oh, yeah.
Which is sick.
Oh, God. It's so good.
So we saw Mark Rosewater preview this in the Spellslinger Showdown. Harness Lightning for 1 and a red. It's an instant because anything that with lightning in the name almost has to be. Choose target creature. You get 3 energy counters. You then... Then we're not done. You may pay any amount of energy. Harness Lightning deals that much damage to that creature.
So this is two mana, 3 damage to a creature. Or if you have more energy counters, more damage.
Just a billion.
Or if it doesn't need 3 damage, it's, you know, 2 damage and you still have an energy left over.
Yeah.
For something else later.
I mean.
Oh boy.
Sweet.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow-de-wow.
And it's kind of cool because I like to think of, I like when they have mechanics that kind of let you still play the game, even if you're kind of strained on mana.
Yeah.
And this is kind of a neat way to address that.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Definitely.
And it's very flexible. Like you mentioned, you can use it to deal damage. In some cases, you can use it to make another creature. In some cases, it can pump a dude, give a dude a counter. Like,
yeah. You great. Previewed a card.
Sure did.
That had something to do with energy.
So my preview card, which I did mention this video that I made,
That's
which
right.
I had a giant card, which hopefully will one day grace the wall behind us, called Live Fast, 2 and a black, and I took it and I ran around PAX like a crazy person with it, because it's called Live Fast, get the joke. It's sorcery. You draw 2 cards, lose 2 life, and get 2 energy counters.
Ooh.
Boom. It's features an Aetherborn.
Yeah.
So that's why they're trying
to
live fast.
Man.
And it's paired with Prof's preview card, which was Die Young, which is 1 and a black for a sorcery. Choose target creature. You get energy. Then you may pay any amount of energy. So this is kind of like the Harness Lightning card. Mm-hmm. The creature gets -1/-1 until end of turn for each energy paid this way.
Very cool.
So yeah, the two kind of live together and their names go together.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Live fast, die young.
Wow.
Yeah. Sad.
Sad. We also haven't talked yet much about Fabricate, which is yet another mechanic, the other new mechanic of the set, which happens on creatures. And basically, for instance, Propeller Pioneer, 3 and a white for a 2/1 flying. And it says Fabricate 1. That means when it enters the battlefield, you can either put a +1/+1 counter on it, so you have a 3/2 flying, or you can make a 1/1 servo.
Sweet.
Yeah. So it goes with the modules, it goes with crewing those vehicles that we talked about. This is pretty cool in general. Yet another mechanic that we're going to get to see in action.
Cards are always stronger when you have an option.
Yeah, they are.
So if this was just...
They also allow you to make more mistakes.
That's true. But because you never know. You might be like, oh, the counter's way sweeter. You never know when you're going to need that little servo to crew a vehicle. You never know when you're going to need that extra point of power, toughness in the air. Mm-hmm. Flexibility on cards is absolutely something you look for when you're looking for a powerful card, especially in limited.
Yeah.
Speaking of a powerful limited card, I just want to bring this up just because it's sick.
Aerial Responder.
One white for a 2/3 flying vigilance lifelink. That's it. What more do I need to say? That card's disgusting.
Oh my gosh.
How do you beat that card?
Sometimes
it's going to take you a few turns, and by that time, I'm going to have 1,000 life. What are you going to do?
You'll be at 1 million. You'll be at 1 million life.
Speaking of being at 1 million life.
Yeah.
Do you like these segues that I've constructed?
They're great. You're rolling. Just keep going.
All right. Aether Flux Reservoir. It's an artifact for 4 colorless mana. Generic mana, sorry. Whenever you cast a spell, you gain 1 life for each spell you've cast this turn. Pay 50 life.
It deals 50 damage to target creature or player.
I love that. It's like, maybe you want to deal 50 to a creature. And not just completely...
I mean, don't you just want to kill their creature? Maybe your opponent's at 100.
Get out of here, Servo. 50 damage. Yeah, so this card, has got a lot of people putting their brewer's caps on because that's ridiculous. And I would love to see something happen with that card.
Oh, I would love to see just once in standard someone.
Yeah. Someone's going to try and do it.
Yeah. I feel like we said the same thing about Demonic Pact
and it happened.
Harmless Offering, and it totally happened.
It did happen.
It was great.
The only question is, like, how do you get to 100 life? That is a lot of life. I suppose you only have to 100? Gain 80 more.
What? You don't have to get to 100 with this.
I mean 50. Whoa. No, this card's totally doable.
Wow, you thought it was 100.
Yeah,
now that we're like, no, it's 50, you're like, huh. Shit, man, easy.
No problem.
NP. NP.
You could use... Is Felidar Sovereign still going to be legal?
No.
Oh, well, never mind.
Wait. Yes. No? Yes. No? Yes. Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes.
We're going to build a life gain deck.
But at that point, you would already win anyways, because Felidar Sovereign says if you...
Oh, yeah.
If you're a 40, you win.
Wait, isn't Felidar Sovereign just better than...
I mean...
I guess why not have both?
Why not have both?
Okay.
Because you're going to have a terrible deck.
You can use this card for Storm as well.
Oh, that's true.
Because you'd guess a lot of spells in a turn. Gain a lot of life.
That's true. This costs way more than anything that ever happens in a Storm deck, though.
No, it does. It's just like a random win con, I suppose. I don't know.
So weird.
Anyway... Just wanted to talk about those cards because they're so sweet.
Oh, do you know what else is so sweet?
Yeah, Digital Fox.
It's a little filigree familiar. He's a little artifact.
He's
fox.
So cute.
He's so cute.
Megan, what? Cutest card for this set. Now, several people have said this to me, and it's so true, is going to be the quest of a lifetime. I don't know how I'm going to choose.
I think someone mentioned that we should have like a whole segment this time around that's like our
bracket.
Yeah, and we'll have to compare each set on the bracket, and then we'll narrow it down to one.
Because this is ridiculous.
And it's absurd.
I saw Gremlins, and I was like, why is my life suddenly the greatest life that's ever happened? And then I saw this filigree fox, and I was like,
what?
This fox is adorable.
Ugh.
I almost puked because it was so cute.
It's so cute.
And it's just like a really good card.
So for 3 mana, you get a 2/2. When it enters the battlefield, you gain 2 life. When it dies, you draw a card.
Yes, please.
All right. I'll emerge that any day.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just pick it up and you picking up and punting it. No. Fox.
No, little fox.
Little fox, where are you going?
Even if foxes make absurd screaming noises, they're still cute.
Don't they yell?
Yes.
Don't they yell and it's like horrible?
It's horrible and terrible. And,
it sounds like a human yelling.
Has driven more than one man to insanity.
You guys are not even exaggerating. Like, that's about what a fox screams like.
Yeah. If you'd like to call into the MTA Cast hotline and do your impression of a fox screaming.
If you want to send us an email, magicthemetering@gmail.com with a little voice recording of you screaming like a fox.
What have you done?
We will sign a copy of Filigree Familiar when it comes out and mail it to you. The winner. We'll pick the best fox scream.
Okay.
And you can have a signed filigree familiar. We'll even find a foil one.
What about people who are plagued by fox screams in their life, and now we're just, like, rubbing it in their face?
Sorry. I mean this, though.
Okay.
We're also going to talk about a pair of just cool cards that are an ally color pairs. Rashmi, Eternity's Crafter, 2 green-blue for a 2/3. But it says, whenever you cast your first spell each turn, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a non-land card with converted mana cost less than that spell's, you may cast it without paying its mana cost.
Oh, okay.
That seems reasonable.
If you don't cast it, you just get to keep it.
You just put it in your hand.
She's an elf druid with just wicked clothes and hair.
Yeah, she looks amazing.
This is going to be somebody's commander big time.
She's so cool.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's so cool.
This card is very strong.
Yeah.
It goes without saying.
Sick.
And here's another one that everybody just instantly loved.
Dapala, Pilot Exemplar.
She's a legendary creature, elf pilot. I mean, dwarf pilot, rather. And this was so excited. People were really excited about dwarves. Yeah. And they want to make a dwarf commander deck or whatever. Yeah. And you totally can. And she's great because she's a dwarf lord. 3/3. Other dwarves
get +1/+1. Each vehicle you control gets +1/+1 as long as it's a creature.
Sweet.
So vehicles also get +1/+1 because she is a sick pilot, man.
Yeah, she's great.
And whenever she becomes tapped, you may pay X. If you do, reveal the top X cards of your library, put all dwarf and vehicle cards from among them into your hand, and then put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order.
Sweet.
Crazy.
This card's good.
Awesome.
Yeah, dwarf deck will be really fun to play, I think.
Very cool.
And yeah, if you want her as your commander, I can see that being really sweet.
Maria, speaking of living fast and dying young.
Yeah.
We've been living this episode so fast.
We have...
We're almost. You guys, there's so many cool cards.
We could go on about, like, literally all of them.
About them for forever.
And we probably will. I mean, in another episode.
Yes. But you can go and look at them also.
Yeah.
So go, look, we'll look, talk about them more next time. For now, we need to pass out.
Well, everybody, that's our episode. Thanks for tuning in again. Make sure you catch us at GP Louisville this coming weekend.
That's right. We're going to be there. We're going to be teaming once again with Athena, otherwise known as Elantris.
The Gnarled Pack rides again.
That's right. We'll probably be wearing our sick MTA cast shirts.
Yeah.
So you can find us because we're wearing them.
We'll also be three ladies.
Yeah, we will. And we're gonna have a sick, awesome time, man.
Yeah, if you come give us a high five, we'll give you a special present if we haven't run out by then.
Yep.
To say thank you for being a cool fan. Mm-hmm. GP Louisville, maybe we'll record the podcast from there as well, like we did at GP DC. We'll see
what we can do.
But yeah, it's gonna be great. Team sealed, nothing like it. Expect another epic episode next week, just like this week's. It was so epic.
Obviously, there's also so many great teams to follow while you're there. All of the regular ones, but there's also another all-women team.
Yes.
Which is going to be just crazy good.
Yeah.
Which is Jadine Klumparens.
Yep.
Emma Handy.
Yep.
Two people who just, like, those two women just kick ass on the SCG circuit.
Yep.
As well as local player Morgan.
Yeah, Morgan's gonna be there.
So the three of them are teaming.
She's a streamer and also a very strong Magic player.
Yeah, I think that their team is going to be super sick. And also another super cool team made of three women, which is baller.
I'm sure
that there will be more because we're cool.
Because come on, it's happening. So yeah, GP Louisville, come say hi and stay tuned for an epic episode next week as well as the bonus episode. I should point out, I said if you want to go in and change your Patreon donation, that if you're like, say, at a high level, like 10, so it makes like a big difference to you, it will count towards your monthly goal. So when we say you have to pledge at, like, say, 5 months, $10 a month in order to get the playmat or whatever, we really mean a dollar amount. So it will go towards the final dollar amount. So you will get your reward a little faster than you would normally. So if that changes your thoughts about that at all. But yeah, bonus episode coming up soon with interviews with great people from Magic. Check out all the stuff we created at PAX at MTAcast on Twitter. You can find a lot of it on our website, magicthamateuring.com. Alternatively, you can just type in MTAcast.com now. Thanks to help from a very generous listener who bought it for us. Thank you very much. We're in your debt forever. Facebook.com/MTAcast will also show you a whole bunch of stuff that we made, as well as Tolarian Community College on YouTube and Magic the Gathering's channel on YouTube as well.
That's it. Go Ghost.
Are you talking to Ghost Host right now?
Yeah.
That's it, Ghost.
That's it, Ghost.
Oh, Ghost Host says bye.